So, sir, you've picked resilient leadership as the topic that is you know something you're passionate about. So I guess we just wanted to start by asking what sort of things actually shaped your view of leadership through your life?
I think like anybody, your upbringing, those experiences you've had as a young man or a young woman as you grow up certainly shape how you think about things. You know, my father, the fact that, you know, if I just look at who I am, you know, I'm a son, a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a father, the male, I'm a Christian, I'm in the military. All of those things, as you grow up, start to influence you on the way that you think. Looking at those people around me at the time who were great, I can remember two school teachers at the time who, to me, were great mentors in a sense that they built you up. They didn't actually just continually criticize you as you go through. So those are the types of things that I think shape you as a person and then shape the way that you think about leadership. And as a young man, when I was growing up, I didn't actually go to church beyond the age of about 12. And so I never really had that Christian influence early on in my life. But I did have a dad who was compassionate. I think I had a dad who worked hard, and I had a mum and dad who sort of loved me for who I was. And I think those things actually shape you as a leader and as a person as you grow.
Yeah, thank you. And I guess that point in time where you were willing to say, hey, I believe in Christ. I want to identify with Christ. What happened at that time, and who were some of the key influences that actually helped you come to that decision? And lastly, I guess, what was it like then as a young officer?
Yeah, and I like the way you say a young officer. I wasn't so young at the time. In terms of influences along the way, nothing much really early on in my military career. But at a time when I was instructing at Point Cook, there was a young man that I met who became one of my students who I was teaching to fly. And there was this calmness about him. There was this confidence about him. And he was a great young pilot. He was exceptional at what he did. And as a matter of fact, every time I showed him something, he did it better than what I did it. So it was quite embarrassing. So just involved with him and talking to him and getting to know him as a human, and him actually wearing his faith, not through telling everybody every single minute of the day, but just by the way he treated people, by the way he acted, by the way he had the confidence in himself, was really quite inspirational at the time. Now, through with that, we ultimately struck up a very strong friendship. Ultimately went to his graduation over in Perth, which is an interesting story because my wife was one day short of giving birth at that ball and went into labour on the dance floor. And then we went home, and the next day our eldest daughter was born, so in 1991. And then just kept that friendship with him going. And then ultimately we ended up flying F-18s together. I ended up commanding officer of 77 Squadron, and I selected him to be the XO of the squadron. And it was during that time, just, you know, still friendship growing, getting stronger, and his faith, again, in front of everybody, very strong and very committed. And one day he came into me and said, hey... You know, as the door was shut, wasn't sir, it was Alan. Hey, Alan, I'm talking at church on Sunday. Would you like to come along? And it was Father's Day. So I went along to him preaching at Father's Day. And at that point, I realized that I believed at that point. So put my hand up at the altar call and made the move forward. So it was certainly a challenging time for me emotionally, mentally, trying to get my head around what I'd just said and done. But what was actually quite interesting about the fact at the time, because you're very busy and I was away a lot, That's not mine, hopefully. No, they're actually all in the back. It'll be all right. So
there's a lot of Padres here tonight.
There's a lot of Padres, and all the Adfa cadets are in the back, so they're not causing it. They're here, so it's all right. So what, unbeknownst to me, my daughter had met someone at school, which was the pastor's daughter. They'd struck up a friendship, and Helene had started attending church at a different church. And so we were going to different churches at the time, and it was the one time at that point that I listened to my wife, and she said, "I'm not going to that church, you're coming to this one." So we started attending church in Newcastle, and went on. And that person is Paul Simmons, who I think a lot of people know.
So we talked about these 3.1 decades that you've had in leadership in defence. So many opportunities to lead yourself, lead other people's. What have you learnt during that time about leadership and resilience?
That leadership is intensely personal. You cannot lead by one not being yourself and not making it a personal thing. To lead others, you have to be able to lead yourself. To lead yourself, you've got to know yourself. And the biggest part of that is accepting yourself. I know God created me unique. Thank goodness. My wife says you don't need any more of me around. But created me unique with all my strengths, my weaknesses, my failures, my successes. All those things have been created for me. And I've got to learn to accept them. And part of that is that, you know, God created it. And he accepts it, so why can't I? So once I've become to accept myself, it makes it easier to lead myself. It makes me easier to think that's okay to not be successful in that area, or it's okay to have somebody that's better than you in a particular way. And once you've learned to be able to accept yourself, then you can accept others. You can look at others in a different light and actually lead them in a different way. So it's intensely personal, but it's personal about how you serve others. And I think that's the biggest thing for me about leadership is you have to know yourself. You have to accept yourself. And if you can't accept yourself, then there's no way you can really lead others positively.
Isn't it a bit of an oxymoron that there can be such a thing as a Christian fighter pilot? I mean, you hold up the epitome of fighter pilots and people who are the very highest areas of accomplishment in our world, and it seems to me that they would not. Why would you need God? I mean, you've achieved everything in a worldly sense, in terms of reaching the highest levels of your professional mastery. I mean, why would you need to have a hope in God and a faith?
Yeah, great question, Alyssa. And I remember Paul and I having this discussion many, many times, and to me, a lot of it's about what your calling is. So, but it's not just about being a pilot. It's about being any successful person. Why do you need God? And I think the Bible talks about the rich people don't need God, the poor people do, and those people that might find it much harder. And that goes back a little bit about that story about me becoming a Christian. You know, when people looked at me, they looked at me as somebody who had a wife, had two kids. I had, you know, I was a fighter pilot, a CEO of a squadron. We were a successful squadron. We'd done very well. So people looked at me and my life as something that was, you know, wow, that he's successful. But inside, I was looking at me, and I'm the one that could see me, and I could see all my failures and all those things that I had done wrong. I was the biggest critic of myself. So here inside, I was this mess of a person. And part of that transition into being Christian was about the fact that I got to accept the mess of a person. So just because there's this success suit sitting on the outside of somebody, it doesn't mean inside. And to me, the Christianity, the leadership, the resilience is this strength that comes internal to you. It's not about what you do or how you, or the job that you have, those type of things. It's about the type of person that you are. And everybody needs that spiritual link, that, and in my view, that's that Christianity link to God.
So you've talked a bit about messing up. So I'm really keen to know What is the most substantial punishment that you as either a subordinate summary authority, CO or some other authority have meted out to a person? And what have you been on the end of from someone else?
I'm not allowed to say because that's Privacy Act. Won't let me tell me those things. I actually can't remember the punishment. I have sat to some, but I honestly can't remember the punishment, which is bad because I should be able to do that because it meant a lot to the person that I was giving it to. But I think it was 3 weeks' pay, I think, that he was stealing stuff from the base at the time. So, and what's the worst thing that's happened to me? I think the worst thing that's happened to me is to not be treated well as a subordinate. I was deployed in 2002, and I worked for somebody who, I would say, I learnt more about leadership from that person than I've learnt about leadership from anybody else, but it wasn't because I felt he was necessarily good at it. And I learned a real lot about that. But I also learned a real lot about myself at that point, and that I had placed a lot of my own self-worth on what I did and what people thought about me. And I had that stripped away from me by this particular person at the time. And that is a major impact on, well, Liz is saying, this strong fighter pilot, capable person, to have all that self-worth stripped away from you, because I really attach my self-worth to my performance and my job, which is, I know it sounds dumb, but, you know, a lot of men in particular do that, about being this alpha male, about being this person who's better than everybody else, who's being very capable, that is respected, that everyone wants to look up to. And I had that taken away from me. And the worst thing about that was that, having knocked me significantly and ended up in what I would say, actually I didn't know at the time, but what Helene would say is I was in depression, I needed help, and out of that, sorry, it can get tough at the times, but out of that, my marriage, my relationship with my kids and all those things were being taken away from me. And it was all because of the way that I'd been treated. So I didn't feel valued, and I didn't feel useful, and I didn't feel like somebody wanted me as part of the organisation. And to feel that way, I think, impacts on your resilience. It knocks you to your core, because I didn't have this view of myself that I was unique, that I was created in God's image, and that it really didn't matter what that person thought of me, particularly when it wasn't true. And so it took a while for me to get past that. But so that's probably the worst thing. And that, I think, has shaped the way that I try to treat other people and try and be a leader. It's actually trying to build them, to make them feel valued and feel wanted.
So if we can get practical for a minute then, how does this live out in action to be a leader, to demonstrate resilience, but as a Christian, how does that actually outwork?
Yeah, and I've coined a little, I didn't do it, I guess, I've used the word Christ to help steer the way that I think, and Christ to me, I use it as an acronym to think about courage, honour, respect, integrity, service, and teachability. And if I can behave in a way that embodies those, then that to me helps me on a practical way every day deliver that leadership. And in doing that, I guess one of the biggest things that I try to do is keep my emotion out of anything that occurs. Now, that doesn't mean I don't get upset or I don't get angry, but what I try to do is remove that, get myself back in a place where I'm with God in a way to make decisions. So now, in terms of day in, day out things, I know I mess it up every single day. There's times I come home at night and I go, and I'm, you know, having a bit of a discussion with Helene about stuff, and she said, "Well, you know, did you talk to God today?" Yeah, forgot about that. I tried to do that in my own strength all day today, you know, and so I mess it up on occasions, every day. But if I can try to embody each of those in how I treat people, how I make decisions, how I'm involved in anything that occurs within the academy, whether it's a decision on policy or a decision on what's going to happen to somebody, and just because you can be a Christian doesn't make you soft. You can be firm, you can be hard, but you've got to be fair, and you've got to try and stick to those values. So each time I go to that, I try to get back to those values, and does what I'm doing or what I'm saying or how I'm involving somebody relate to those values or those words?
So it's a long journey, this pilgrimage of life. We're not always going to be on the shiny, squeaky clean, getting everything right. We're going to make lots of mistakes. What advice do you have for us to deal with times when we do mess up? And it could be a public fall. It could be a very private issue that we're struggling with. What would you put forward as some things that have encouraged you along the way?
One thing I would say is that my wife is much better at keeping me focused on those things than anything. And one of the things that she says to me is, are you doing it in your own strength? So when you're making the mistake or you're trying to deal with it, where are you going for help now to look at that? So going to God at times is the most important thing. So you need to be able to do that. When I'm messing up, again, it's about how did I get there? Why wasn't God involved earlier? Why wasn't God now? Why aren't you now going to God for the next part of recovering from that? So I guess the main thing for me about now making mistakes is, again, going back, I guess, to my first point, it's okay to make mistakes. It's about how you then recover from that. It's about how you're open and transparent with the mistake. And there are many decisions that I've made as a leader, as a commanding officer, etc., that weren't necessarily based on those five things that, you know, that I've spoken about on Christ, on the six things, sorry, on based on those, and being able to stand up in front of my people and go, I made that decision and that was wrong for these reasons, and you know, accept responsibility for that helps you recover and get going a lot quicker. The challenge is when it is something that is very obvious. And then you start to think, what are other people thinking about that decision I've made? And that's really tough for a leader when they've made a bad decision. But I think in terms of being open, being transparent, but leaning and heading back to the vine all the time is really important.
Yeah, that's good. And what do you think God wants us to do in those sort of situations where we do mess up? What does He love us, I guess, doing when that happens?
I think just turning to Him, just openly being on your knees and turning to Him, and you know, either metaphorically or physically, turning to Him and saying, "Look, I'm sorry. This is where I am. I don't know how to get out of here. Just help." And I think if we do that and we're really truthful with it, we're not just doing it and playing lip service to it. You're truly open. The Holy Spirit will come at that point and help solve. You know, may not fix the problem. The problem is probably still going to be there, but the fact that the Holy Spirit comes and will make good out of everything, then I feel that's the only way you can deal with those sort of things, certainly in a spiritual and strength sense. Without that, you just can't survive. And it's interesting, a lot of the research now that's happening in the militaries around the world are talking about spiritual fitness, you know, and that everyone needs a spiritual fitness to be able to do the job. And like any fitness that you have to practice. So, you know, and I'm the worst offender, you know, I always turn up when I've messed up, probably not when things are going well. So spiritual fitness is about maintaining that relationship with God all the time, when things are going well, when things are going bad. You need to be maintaining that relationship all the time.
So I think we've just got time for a couple more questions. And what we want to know about as well is beautiful wife Helene there. She's been with you every step of, well, a large number of the steps of the way. How has she continued to help you on this path that you've had together?
Nothing would have been possible. I can guarantee I would have been way off the rails, completely out of control. I'd own about 15 aeroplanes by now. Spent all my money on things that were probably useless in the long term. Not have two beautiful daughters who are just, again, inspirational to me every day. So Helene is, like any partner, is the bedrock. And I would hope that she would say the same about me for her success. So it's about that partnership and the relationship. And there's no way I could have been anywhere near as successful in my career or in my relationships or in even my relationship with God without her.
So just to... Yeah. So other than Air Vice Marshal, what do you think God's got planned for you in the future? And what are a couple of things that we as a group, as we think about you, can be praying for you and your family?
What's God got planned for me? Well, I haven't known up to this date, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to predict it for the future. But what I can say is, since really coming back to faith, relaxing in who I am, my career has gone far further than I could ever have imagined. So all I could ask for then is to maintain that faith with God, relax in who I am, and if it goes further as a career, it's great. If it doesn't, that's okay as well. And I'm sure that, you know, he'll order my steps. And he'll put it into the place where it needs to be. And in the end, if it's Helene and I, my girls, and I'm living next to an airfield, I'll be pretty happy at that point. Sorry, in the last part of that?
Just what can we be praying for you?
Oh, what can you pray for me? Look, I would actually just pray that, I take this to my specific job at the moment at ADFA, I just ask that you pray for the great young men and women at ADFA. And that I'm able to influence and provide the leadership that they deserve. And that from the positions where they are now, that they understand how good they are, what they're capable of, and that all they need to do is trust in God and stay attached to the vine, and they will have a great life. So I guess praying for them and praying for great leadership for them would be fantastic.
Thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the simulation room.